Welcome to the house of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, if you can shake somebody's hand, tell them welcome into the house of the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For some of you who may not be aware, we've been having, there has been some very, very powerful meetings. Sister Lorraine, can we have the lights on? Oh, okay, thank you. For some of you who have not been aware, there have been some very, very powerful outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord in Irving, you know, by the Marriott Hotel. I would want to remind you that, guys, Sheraton Hotel on 114 by Esther's and I think Freeport, just around there. That Sheraton Hotel that is there, evangelist Wairimu, who is my spiritual mom, is there. And she came with an entourage of about 100 people from Kenya. And I was there and I said, wow, where is Dallas? Because they were asking people to stand up and to, you know, just wave and, you know, to just experience, I mean, to just, you know, recognize the people who came from the States. And I said, God must be doing something special in the nation of Kenya. 100 people came from Kenya for that conference. And how many of you have been able to go to that conference? Let me see by the show of hands. How many of you have not been able to go to that conference? You know what? This afternoon, you have an opportunity. Tonight is going to be the end of that conference. And let me tell you, there is a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God in that place. You need to go there and connect with what God is doing for the city. Amen? You know, the Bible says that a word from a far country comes to quench the thirst. Amen? And when I was there, there was this prophet who was saying that whenever we clap our hands, you create a shift into the atmosphere. Amen? You know, you create some disturbance in the atmosphere. And that's where I landed. I said, you know, it's a good thing to clap our hands and to worship the Lord. Amen? It is a good thing also to jump up and to do some extraordinary things like David did until his wife almost deserted him. You remember that? Because when you do so, it creates a disturbance in the environment. It creates a disturbance in the air. Amen? Now, if you didn't know, everything that we experience, I know I've told you this before, everything that we can see by our own physical eyes emanated from a world that we cannot see. In other words, the world that we physically see with our own eyes is controlled by a realm that we cannot see by our own eyes. Amen? Whether you know it or you do not know it, you are constantly under a spiritual warfare. As a matter of fact, even as you sit down here, you are engaged. There are some people that are engaged on your behalf under a severe spiritual warfare. Amen? Praise the Lord. The enemy will be trying to delude you by taking away your mind and your focus from the word of the Lord. And the angels of God that you cannot see physically with your own naked eyes, fighting that on your behalf. Praise the Lord. How do I know it? Because there was a man called the servant of Elisha. Praise the Lord. And when he went out, he saw such a humongous, a huge battalion of armies that surrounded them. And all he could see were physical men of war, men, soldiers and a battalion of war with their horses and their chariots. But what the man of God was seeing was something different. Somebody say, there is something that I cannot see. There is an army out there. Say with me, there is an army out there that is fighting for me. Even though I may not see it, I know the angels of God surround me as I walk, as I work, as I sleep, as I drive, in Jesus' name. Yes, I want you to know that there are armies that surround you. You may not see them physically. You may not really even feel that their presence around you. But that does not negate that God has not dispatched a hound of angels to protect you, to protect your children. Let me tell you, if God would open up our eyes, I love what Pastor Wilson always used to tell us, that if God would pop up our spiritual eyes and see the warfare that goes on behalf of our families, on behalf of our children, we would not just dare to stay silent. But every living minute will be a minute to combat the enemy where he is subjected to, right under our feet in the name of Jesus. And I want you to know, Empowerment Christian Center, that this world that we see, everything that you hear, there's a preacher who stood up here the other day and he told us that nothing just happens. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, nothing just happens. Oh yes, nothing just happens. The things that you experience, the things that you go through on a daily basis, things that you sometimes think is bahatimbaya. It is not bahatimbaya, no. There are things that are under the control from an unseen realm. And we have to take power and authority and subject the devil where he belongs. We have to know who we are. Praise the Lord. We have to know who we are and whose we are. Praise the Lord. I believe with the whole of my heart that the reason why we experience difficult situations, the reason why we experience impediments even as children of God is because, as the preacher said the other day to us, there is an era whereby servants, whereby people of royalty are supposed to be riding on horses, but servants are riding on horses instead. Amen? I believe that I want to build on that message that there is an error. An error that we need to correct. Amen? Hallelujah. And when we know who we are, my God, I don't know whether you feel it the way I feel it in my spirit, but whenever, the moment God gives us a revelation of who we are and that what God has done for us, we are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to be moved. We are not going to be shaken. We are not going to be stoppable. We shall go through hell, but hell will not find us. We shall go through fire, but fire will not burn us. We shall go through waters, but the waters will not drown us. But that stands on a principle of when we know who we are and whose we are. Whenever we know who we are, my God, whenever we know who we are in God, we shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, whose are you? Yeah. Do you know who you are in God? Praise the Lord. And in the next few minutes, I'd like us to explore. It's a very, very wide topic of if we begin to explore who we are in God. I mean, we can go miles and miles and we can detour and really still get some gems. We can even detour again and reroute and go and still we will be discovering who we are in God. Praise the Lord. But that is the greatest fundamental principle that we ought to know even as we sojourn. As we continue to move on this planet in the few years that we have. Praise the Lord. The other day I was telling people, somewhere I was called, you know, to minister in a funeral gathering. You know, people were preparing for somebody who had died, and I told them that the Bible says that the ears of a man is how many ears? It says. So if you have more than 70, what does it say that is? It's bonus, right? But you know, we need to quit quoting that scripture because some of us are not 70 years to live here. If you are 40, you don't need to be claiming that scripture. If you are 50, so subtract 70 minus. Now, you don't want to do the math with me. If you are 60 years and the Bible says 70, that is the years of a man. By the way, I'm not saying that anybody is going to die here. With long life shall the Lord satisfy us. But I just want to explain to us so that we understand that the time that we have here on earth, it's not so plenty because sometimes there's this delusion that we are going to live here forever. But God has sent us here with a purpose. And there are certain things that we must accomplish before we go to be with him. Amen? So if you have like 60 years, according to that scripture that says that man has just been given 70 years, you subtract and guess. You don't have, you know, I mean, if the Lord gives you bonus, that is still fine. But according to that scripture, it gives you some information that you ain't going to be here long, right? So we need to establish the purpose for which God has put us here. Amen? It is my prayer that most of us live over 100 years. But that is not going to happen anyway. There are some people who are going to die before 100 years. I don't know if God allows me to live beyond 100 years. Praise the Lord. But I want to know the purpose for the years that are remaining for me. I want to occupy. I want to know who I am in God so that I can do. The Bible says that those who know their God shall be strong. And they shall do what? And they shall do exploits. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn your Bible into the book of Psalm 8. Psalm chapter number 8. Verse number 3-4. The book of Psalm 8, 3-4. If you don't have your Bible, it's okay. You can read up there. You know, Sister Lorraine provides this for us so that we can read. Can we begin from verses number 1, Sister Lorraine? Begin from verse number 1. Lord, the Bible says, Lord, our Lord. How magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. Somebody say majesty. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. Because of your adversaries, you have established a stronghold from the mouths of children and nursing infants to silence the enemies. Is that the scripture that we are supposed to read? Okay, let's continue. In verse to silence the enemy and the avenger. Continue. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, say the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Oh my God. Continue. What is man that you remember him? When I consider the works of your hands, when I see the splendor and the glory and the majesty of the heavens, the way you put up the heavens and the, you spoke a word and that word has been consistent since you spoke it. Planets have existed. Do you know that people, NASA has continued to discover some planets even right now within our galaxy, within our Milky Way. There are billions upon billions of planets like our Earth. And they were trying to see if there was life that existed somewhere. And I was reading an article whereby they have said that there's about 700 stars that are like Earth. But they are many, many, many thousand light years away. In other words, no man can ever get there unless maybe, you know, we get to a point where by God's grace gives us the means of getting there to discover whether there's life. Other article that I read, they were saying that the scientists conclude that the universe continues to expand every day. There's nobody who knows whether there is a beacon that has been set on the universe to say that is the northeast corner of the universe, or this is the northwest corner of the universe, and that is the southwest corner of the universe, and that is the southeast corner of the universe. No one has ever established that. But the Bible says that when I observe the heavens, when I see the work of your fingers, when I dare look at the moon and the beauty of the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that thou hast considered him? The son of man that you look after him. Continue, Sister Lorraine, to verse number 5. The son of man that you look after him. You have made him little less than God and crowned him with glory and honor. Somebody say glory and honor. Oh my God. That when I behold the beauty and the magnificence of heaven, the stars that you put in place. And by the way, you know, God knows the names of each and every star that he puts in space. Even in far galaxies. By the way, you know what a galaxy is? No, I'm asking because I know there are some, but that's a very simple question. Do you know what a galaxy is? It is a constellation that holds billions and billions of stars. Like, for example, our galaxy is called the Milky Way. I don't know why they call it the Milky Way and not any other name, but they call it the Milky Way. I guess it's because it looks like milk. Amen? But they call it the Milky Way. But in our galaxy alone, There are planets like Earth. Now, if we just begin to talk about the solar system consists of planets that I think the only planet. Have you ever been to any one of the planets? No. Except our planet. They are planning to go to Mars in the next 20 years. Maybe somebody will land in Mars. We have about 8 planets, and now they declare the Pluto, the farthest planet, to be a dwarf planet. Now, in our constellation of stars alone, we have billions and billions of stars. And one light year, Julius, can you help me? What is one light year? Can somebody tell me what is one light year? It is the distance that takes light to travel from one... Okay, let's not go into the science because now we are going to lose most of us. But in other words, the distance from here to Mars, it will take how many years to get to Mars? Is it 1,000? Or you're just guessing, huh? Even with... Yeah, can somebody... Don't Google in charge. It is going to take, they are planning, in fact, NASA is planning contingencies of how man can be in a spaceship for about 10 years, traveling to the closest, one of the closest planets that is on Earth. And they are planning, trying to design that foods that can sustain a human being or just on a spaceship before he can get to Mars. And Mars is one of the closest to us. And they are planning contingencies. Okay, what are we going to do? How can we recycle even water, even bodily fluids? Because there cannot be enough water that can be carried in a spaceship. So they are designing how they can even recycle urine so that it can be drunk and they recycle it and drunk and recycle it. Some of you nurses know the processes, what would be involved. In other words, they are planning. It's a grand planning. And so many dollars are being spent so that somebody can go to Mass. Yet there are billions and billions, and you know what? The angels of God just fly by all those planets. They say, oh, you're still rotating around your axis? Come on, keeping on. Billions on billions and billions. Yet the Lord says that what is man that you have considered him in light of this magnificent artwork that God created? What is man that you think about him, that you consider him? Are you listening to me? That you have made him less than God. Just a little bit less than God. And crowned him with glory and honor. Turn to somebody and tell him, if you can't see the glory, I can see the glory in you. God has crowned you with glory and honor. God has crowned you with glory and honor. In spite of all the magnificence that we can see, the artwork in heaven, stars and billions of stars, even in other Milky Ways, that God, the writer of the psalmist wrote and said, what is man that you are mindful about him? That you have crowned him with glory and honor. Hallelujah. Now, I was actually inspired to learn what glory meant. Just a simple definition of glory. The word glory means the fullness of God. In other words, God has crowned you with his fullness. Brother Ben, I don't care what somebody talks about you, but when I look at you, I see the fullness of God in you. You might want to play with anybody else, but I don't want to play with somebody who has the fullness of God in them. Because when somebody has the fullness of God in them, they are unlimited. They can achieve things that are beyond their imagination. But the problem is, the devil has taken this one thing to deny you the right to know who you are. The moment you know that you have the fullness of God, it doesn't matter what you meet in your journey towards wherever you're going. Whenever you know whose you are, whenever you know what God has crowned you with, that you have the fullness of God, you are one unstoppable being. Amen? But many times the devil has taken advantage because he knows that the moment any human being knows what he has been crowned with. The moment he has met with the revelation of what God has intended for that man, then he has lost the battle. And so the devil's mission is to come and tell you, you are a nobody. You cannot amount to much. See what you did the other day. You cannot even accomplish anything. But I'm here to tell you, church, that you have been crowned with the fullness of God within you. My God, my God, my God. You have been crowned with the fullness of God. And the Bible says that you've been crowned with the glory and majesty. What does majesty mean? Oh my God, this is going to wow you. Majesty. It is royalty. It is being put in a lofty place. Do you know what a lofty place? It is in an elevated place. Some of us that have been thinking that, oh, I will never make it because I don't have this and that. I am here to declare to you that God has crowned you to be in an elevated place. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your last name. It doesn't matter the name that is attached to you. But what God is telling me right now is that, Tony, I'll put you in a lofty place. Be to Jesus. It is stately dignity. Stately dignity. Do you know what stately dignity is? It is supreme greatness. Look at your neighbor, tell them you have supreme greatness. Oh, come on, tell them like you believe it. You have supreme greatness. I know they talked bad about you at your place of work. They even denounced you. Then they told you that you have an accent. But let me tell you, whenever they say that you have an accent, tell them, oh, you're looking at somebody who has supreme greatness. I have supreme greatness. Whenever I know that I have supreme greatness, Pastor Chi, you can walk through any door. And because of the supreme greatness that God has crowned you with, you, that makes you unstoppable. Jesus Christ, I wish somebody can listen to me this morning because I have this word inside of me. I feel like I have supreme greatness. Away with when we people just subject to us and tell, oh, you know, what good can come from Africa? I don't care how they have branded Africa, but as long as I am concerned, I am a child of God. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And what God has crowned me, he has put me in an elevated place. And he has told me that I've given you supreme greatness. Oh, Jesus. You have also been crowned with authority. Somebody say authority. You've been crowned with authority. God, you've been crowned with authority. You've been crowned with authority. I know these things are a little bit difficult for you to understand because what you're doing right now, you're looking at your current circumstances. You are looking at your bank account and your bank account reads maybe through $200. And when you look at your bills, it says $1,000. If we can quit looking at the current situation, because the servant of Elisha was in the same spot when he went outside and he saw the armies that surrounded him. It is time, God, I feel in my spirit that we need to, from the lofty position that God has created us, tell God, open up my eyes that I may see what I cannot, these eyes cannot see. There is divine wealth that God has stored for a child of God. Somebody, I wish somebody can listen to me. Cry out to God. Tell God, remove my blurry eyes. There are scales that need to fall that I may see that which you have kept for me, because you have given me supreme greatness. My life may not dictate the same. It may not even talk anything about where I'm going. When I look at where I'm going, I see snowy things. I see a blurry picture. I don't even have a point of abode. I don't even have a point of direction. But the moment you, oh God, whenever you know that you have supreme greatness, doors can open for you that you can never imagine. Whenever you know that you have supreme greatness, things for your children will change. Oh God, I feel this thing in my heart that when you know that you have supreme greatness, and that when you pray, God hears you. Supreme greatness. You also have authority. The last thing that I saw that moved me, that majesty talks of sovereignty. That does not make you equal to God. But when Jesus was going out, when Jesus came out of the grave, he said, now, you cannot touch me because I must go into my Father's house and be glorified. I must live out of this body that you see right now. And I have to be translated into the glory of my Father that I may be glorified. So, whenever you have accepted Jesus and he is dwelling in you, you have in you one who is glorified. Praise be to God. You have the fullness of God. You have total authority. Glory be to Jesus. You have supreme greatness. You have, you have royal personage. In other words, whenever you go, you carry with yourself royalty. Amen? I know there are some people who pre-plan and you plan to go for an interview. But when you think about that interview, first of all, I know, I can feel in my spirit, you think about your accent. How you're going to confuse your L and R's. And how you're gonna be inadequate to express yourself. When they're gonna ask you a question, you're gonna say pardon, and they're not gonna listen to you. And immediately you say pan, they say this one cannot even listen to what I'm interviewing them. This is kaput. But let me tell you, there's another way God can crown you when you recognize, because already God has crowned you. That when you know that you have supreme greatness, my God, when you walk into that office, the aura, the persona that covers you, they cease to see the accent and they say, who is in this place? Who has just entered into this place? Let me tell you, that's what God wants us to do. That when you enter an office, the aura, the persona that surrounds you makes everybody lie flat because of what God has crowned you with. When the devil comes to whisper that you amount to nothing, tell him, shut up! Because God has crowned me with the supreme greatness. Are you listening to me? Now, listen. In the Bible, we have many examples of people who never thought that they amounted to much. In Judges chapter number 6, there's this man, the children of Israel, and I want you to follow with me because this is very, very important. If you read Judges chapter number 6, is an account of a man called Gideon. But when you begin from verse number 1, it talks about how the Israelites did something awful before the sight of the Lord. And God gave them up to the hands of the Midianites. Okay? And if you read Judges chapter 6, number verse 10, can you go to verse number 10? I was really interested to know, what is this thing that they did so awful that God gave them up to the hands of the Midianites? And I said unto you, I am Jehovah your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites. Okay? In whose land you dwell. But you have not hearkened unto my voice. That was the one thing that the children of Israel did, and God had commanded them not to fear the God of the Amorites. Because why do you think God told them about not to fear the gods of the Amorites? Because God was God himself. And no other God was supposed to be worshipped. Are you listening to me? There was no other God in Israel that was supposed to be adored. There was no other God that was supposed to be paid homage to. But when they went into the land of the Amorites, they started to worship other gods. They started worshiping and paying their homage to this other God. And this is one thing that God told them not to do. And they disobeyed him. And that's why he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. And I was asking God, what are you speaking to me? I know you guys, most of us have come from this beautiful land. And those that have been in this land, you know what the God of America is currently. You know what your God is, church? Do you know what your God is? A God, your God can be Jehovah. But anybody who does not know Jehovah, their God can be the thing that they spend most time in. the things that you worship, the things that you really crave, the things that you really go towards. What are the things that Americans love? Donuts? Sports? Have you been into the stadiums? Like when there's a Cowboys game? In fact, I know of churches who organize their services to be very early in the morning, because if they schedule it when the Cowboys are playing, if you happen to be a fan, they won't have any members in that church that day. So in other words, they have exalted football more than God. So eventually, what is their God? What is the thing that they value most? Football. Thank you, Ben. So football becomes their God. So in other words, just as the Israelites were in the land of the Amorites and they started to worship the gods of the Amorites, if we are not very careful, even in this land, things may go astray just because we have unknowingly and the devil deviating us towards the things that we love most, so that we don't have time for God. Is somebody listening to me? Listen to church. Life is not just about money. Life is not just about. You can have $1 million today. But let me tell you. If you have $1 million, you still want some more. If you have $2 million, you still want three. If you want three, if you get three, you'll still want four. If you want four, if you get four, you still want five. It is an unending desire. And if we are not very careful, if you have deserted the ways of the Lord, in this instance, he handed them over. It's like they had not done a major thing, but our God is a jealous God. He has marked you out for greatness. Remember, he says that I have honored them. I have crowned them with his glory and with his majesty. God does not want his majesty and glory just wasted. He anointed you and crowned you for a purpose. He anointed and crowned you with glory and honor for a mission, my sister. He has anointed you for a purpose. And I thank God when I see somebody just being in their element. When you discover your purpose. We were in another meeting just the other day. And there was this fundraising that was going on. And I felt, I wish Gideon would take over. I wish Sister Purity would take over, because I know this meeting can turn around. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I have seen them being in their element. And whatever God has given you to serve in the body of Christ, do it like you will never do it again. Are you listening to me? God may call you to preach like I am doing. Not everybody has been called to preach. Not everybody will be called to be an entertainer or to do the work that Gideon does. If you would call me to do a fundraiser, I'll be a flop. But you give that man a microphone or give Sister Purity to organize an event, they will do it perfectly. Let them do it in their position. Are you listening to me? That's why God crowned you with glory and honor, so that you can perfect the work that he has given you. It is all for the benefit of the body. Each and every one of us. There's no one who is an accident. Nobody is an accident. You have a purpose. And you have a long, many years to live, Daddy. Establish what purpose it is for the people of Kenya. There's a reason why God brought you to the United States. Made you live there for many, many years. And Kenyans need somebody who has lived here. And so that they can articulate this. I love the system of America. This system works. If you're a hard worker, you can make it in America. Amen? There's no discrimination in as far as if you want to pursue something, you can go to school. You don't have to give somebody some money in order for you to go to school or to go to a certain school. If you have the willingness and the ability, you can make it in America. I love this country. It is a good environment for us to serve God. But you know what? There are things that can be stopped in our lives just because of what happened to the children of Israel. He told them, do not fear. In other words, do not worship. Do not be so scared. In other words, they were so fearful. If we do this, the kings of the Amorites are going to come to us. But God is Jehovah. You've been blessed. You've been endowed with favor. In the name of Jesus. But even as you work, as you do the things that you do, remember God, Jehovah. Amen. That is the primary reason that God has given you, that you may do some work for him, that you may have a relationship with him. If you're too busy to have some time to pray, listen to me, church. If your work makes you so busy that you cannot even have even a few minutes in the morning to pray or to read the word of God, I have a question about that work that you have. If you're too busy not even to go to a fellowship or to attend a prayer meeting, I have a question about what you do. Are you listening to me? God is willing to manifest himself in the things that we go throughout every day. Amen? He shows us signs every day to tell us that I am with you. I may not feel like God is with me right now. I may feel like he is far away from me. Just the other day, I was in that meeting in the FEM conference. And there was some spirit, there was a prophetic declarations that were being uttered on the altar concerning some people. But I said, where I was seated, I said, God, I may not have been called by name, but I have this thing that is nagging me. We need a building to go into for a church. And I've been praying and I've been agonizing and I've been telling God, God, I need to see this manifestation. Let me tell you, I knelt down and I told God, you have to come and show me something. Let me tell you, as that declaration was being offered, I didn't know something that happened. I was not even aware. But after the service, I went outside, and looking on my phone, a pastor friend of mine had texted me that I was not even expecting, somebody that we had related some time ago and I forgot about him. But there was a text that says me, man of God, can you meet me next Wednesday? I would like you to introduce you to my mission pastor to see how I can help you with your church. And I said, God, I don't know what is under the sleeves of this man of God, but at least, God, I have seen a sign. You've shown me that you are hearing. You've heard my prayer. Amen. You know, sometimes we expect gigantic, you know, like a giant, gigantic, you call it like a giant move, like a volcano to erupt so that you know God is moving in your life. You know, sometimes when you don't see a volcano erupting near your house, you say, I've not seen God. But sometimes God comes in the very silent voices. He comes in terms of an encouragement. It could be you're picking up a phone and the sister on the other side speaks some words you never expected. Do not allow yourself to miss God. Amen? Just this weekend, my wife misplaced her phone. Let me tell you, it looks like a stupid thing even to tell you. But how many of you misplace things, like little things that here and there? And I was wondering, now Catherine was disturbed. She was saying like, oh no, I don't know, maybe some people may have called me. This is my work phone and I don't know what to do. And just one suddenly I told you, remember you called me when you were on your way from Walmart and you told me to bring some milk. And where did you put the phone? Did you drop it in Walmart? And immediately the Lord told her it is in her jacket. The phone that she has been looking for 3 days was in her jacket. You see, it is those little things. We saw God in that. No, I know for you that is not God, because you expect, you know, things happening like blasting, you know, this is God now. Some thundering. One time I lost, I don't know what I was doing, because I normally don't remove my wedding band, but I removed it and misplaced it. Now, how many of you know that if you misplaced your band, I mean, it's like, where are you going to even look for it? I said, and I agonized. I said, I don't want to buy another ring. I want that ring that was blessed by the man of God when I was joined with my wife. No. Man, let me tell you, I told my children, everybody, go look for that ring. Now, if I was very unfair to these kids, because where will they find it? And I'm the one who lost it. Let me tell you. And I told God, God, I rest my case. You know that you have the coordinates of where my ring is, because you have the coordinates of everything on earth. I am here to tell you, whatever you have lost, God knows the coordinate of what you are. He knows the latitudes and the longitudes. That's what we used to call them. And he has a pinpoint target of whatever you need. So don't stress yourself. Let me tell you, one day as I was, I don't even know what I was doing. Because I normally even don't go under the bed. I don't even know what I was looking under the bed. And let me tell you, just right under the edge of my bed, there was my ring. I don't know whether the angel brought it there. I don't know who put it there, but I found my ring. And I said, God, if you can find this, let me tell you, God starts speaking to me now. The things that are so huge in my life that I don't even know how to do it. Lord, if you can find this ring in a big house where there's trash and everything and books and things, Lord, you know how to locate me. God is just about to locate you. He hasn't forgotten about you. The situation may not be saying so, my sister Carol. When you look at everything around you, my sister, everything doesn't say like anything is happening. But you know, I was telling you about this story about Gideon. And Gideon was just but somewhere. He was threshing. The fact the Bible says that he was beating the wheat. So that because you know what they used to do? When God says that he has handed you to some people, oh, that is not, it's a bad thing. When he said that he had handed them to the Midianites, you know what happened? The Midianites, the Bible says that they came as with their locusts, I mean with their cattle that were as many as locusts. And they used to come and eat and graze on the crops of the Israelites. So everything they couldn't do anything because the Lord had handed them over to the Midianites. It's a dangerous thing to deny who you are. It is a dangerous thing, my sister, to deny who you are. It is good to know that you are God's. It is good to walk in confidence that I am God's. No matter what other people say, I belong to God. And he has crowned me with honor and glory. It would be a blasphemy if you deny that fact. And the devil would come to deny. And you know, so Gideon is thrashing wheat. And he says, because I am thrashing this so that I believe so that we may have some food. Because if I don't do it, the Midianites are going to come and do what? Steal it. Unbeknown to Gideon, the Lord had heard their cry. Because they had cried out to God, oh God, we repent. Forgive us, Lord. We choose not to go to these football games instead of going to church. We choose not even to take this quadruple of jobs that they give us and deny the services of the Lord. Lord, we repent. We shall go to prayer meetings, Lord Jesus. We shall even go to fellowships, Lord, when they call a meeting. We shall not ignore the pastor's WhatsApp. Some of you, I send a message and say, this is just a pastor trying. Is that what you say? Unaangalia simu yako kama TV, unasema, Pastor Tony. I know what he wants. He wants to go to Kesha. I'm calling you for Kesha to come and pray for your children. It's not for me. I'm calling you to come and intercede for yourself. Intercede for who? Let me tell you. And the Lord looked and there was nobody who was there to stand in the gap. If we don't stand in the gap, my brother, who is, like for example, if we only leave this job to two or three people to pray, for, look for our building or to intercede for the manifestation of this building. Let me tell you, if we are all engaged, there's power in unity. When you pray, you are terrorizing the kingdoms of heaven. We have told God about a building, and I believe the building has been released. But just as Daniel prayed, and he said that the first day that you prayed, God handed his answer to an angel. So God answers your prayers regardless. Every time you talk to God, he answers your prayers. So I believe our building is somewhere in the spiritual realm. I may not see it, but I know it is there coming to us to be manifested, Pastor Steve. But you know, it took Daniel to pray throughout 21 days so that his answer would be manifested. And he wondered, what took you long, angel? What took you long? I've been praying for 21 days. Did not God hear me? But the angel of the Lord told him, oh, you know what? The answer was released the first day that you asked of it. But there was a prince of Persia. Somebody say the prince of Persia. And that is the devil in the name of Jesus. We are going to subject him where he belongs. The prince of Persia held your answer. Until because of your prayers you interceded. And God sent Michael to come and release him so that you could get your answer. I'm here to submit to you that the moment you prayed, God answered your prayer. But if you don't persist, your answer is still somewhere held up between your answer being manifested and your answer being released. It has already been released, but I'm going to continue. Shanda bakusha. I release, I let this house is going to be manifested. May somebody who is holding on this building be released. Release it in the name of Jesus. We release it in the name of Jesus. But you know, if Pastor is the only one doing it, or is only maybe Pastor Francis. Pastor Francis is dealing only with 1,000. Shanda boshekaya. I release this building and other demons are coming. But when I join you, my brother, 10,000. Hosha kabeka hosha. Release our building. How about if all of us join together? It will take just a few days. We have to be serious with it because you have been crowned with glory and honor. Amen. As a matter of fact, and I'm concluding right now, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the face of the earth. You know what they are looking? They are looking for glory and honor. They are looking for somebody who has been crowned with glory and honor. So he is looking in Dallas, Texas, and his eyes are focusing on Sister Christine. And she says, Sister Christine, I see glory and honor. You are qualified to be a candidate. Her eyes lays on Sister Charity. When she is in her element, she says, I see glory and honor. I can use you, my sister. Hallelujah. But he can only use you when you know in your Noah that you have been crowned with glory and honor. Amen. If, for instance, I give you my debit card and I tell you this debit card has $1,000,000 there, and I give you my password, my PIN number, right? How many of you would like to have my PIN number? I said, how many of you would want my PIN number? Hiya, right now. But you know what? But you ignore it. I give you the debit card and you say, you know, I'm just feeling like maybe Pastor doesn't have money. And you know, I don't want him to be poor. But I'm the one who authorized you. I told you, here, Pastor Julius. Here is my... So I give you my debit card and I give you my PIN number, and every time I go to check on my statement, there's no withdrawal. And I'm like, what is happening? And I know you have needs, brother. I know you have needs. It is the same way. It is the same way. You've been crowned with glory and honor, but you need to cash it. And the Lord is looking at the statement and he doesn't see any withdrawal. Because you've listened to the devil. You know, this preacher was telling us that we magnify the devil so much that when we pray, our Father in heaven, please may you help us. May you give us this and that and this. But when it comes to the devil, you devil! Behind you! It's like we are so scared about the devil. You're so scared about the devil more than we ought to. It's like you see the devil in everything. But you know the devil, I mean, when you know who you are, you just need to tell the devil, can you get off this place? You don't even have to use many commands. Devil, I am commanding you right now. Get off that door right now. Get out. And that is done. But you're not spending like 50 minutes. That is a person who doesn't have power and authority. When you have power and authority, you see, the Bible says that you've been crowned with authority. You have authority, this is a charity. When you sense the demonic activity in your house, you say, devils, I can sense you and I can feel you. That door, I've opened it right now. You know, virtually, I've opened it right now. Get out. In Jesus' name. I invite the presence of God. And you sleep. You rest. You know? There's some demons you don't have even to pray like for 3 hours. For doing what? You have authority. Say, devil, get out. Get out of my case. Get out of my children. You know, let me tell you a story. Can I give you one more story? Some of you know my son. My son, Ron, he had an issue whereby he went to school and he was being bullied. And I know maybe you would want me to tell you this story. And he was really, really bad to a point whereby we never thought that you'd even make it in school. And then we moved from Arlington and went to Little M. And so we went to the school district up there. And then we prayed. And most of you, we know, we commissioned you. And you prayed and you cried out to God. Let me tell you. Ron has been in that school. He has performed so well. He's been getting A's and B's. I'm telling you, believe it or not. And when I looked at that and I said, God, what is impossible with you? Sometimes the situations that we go through may not really even make any sense. When I looked at my son at that time, I said, God, haven't you said that the firstborns belong to you, Lord? They are a heritage to you. And I hand over this young man. Let me tell you, just the other day, among the so many kids in that school, we were given a letter, and I invited Pastor Julius. My son was honored in one of the subjects, you know, like top honors, to congratulate. And I said, God, I'm serious. I said, God, you're a God of heaven, and you can turn things around. When we know whose we are, it doesn't make any sense sometimes, you know, at the moments when we are, when you're going through the situation, it looks so bleak, so hard. I've been going through some very tough things. In fact, at one point, my wife told me, sometimes I send my dad some money, you know, to do one of, you know, few things, you know, like buy sugar. And but my dad is so faithful. He tells me, $20, 20 shillings, I bought your mother this. 10 shillings, I put gas, this. You know, accuracy. So that gives me confidence. I can trust my dad with whatever amount of money that I can send him. And my dad, my wife comes here and we are driving. I think we were coming to church. She asked me, Tony, do you really doubt your dad that if you send him 100 shillings that he would eat some of them and he would tell you that $50, you know, I did this. And no, I said, I absolutely trust my dad. My dad will never take a coin. And then my wife came and told me, okay, how about this thing that you're struggling with about trusting God? I said, God, may you help me, because sometimes I have a problem of believing you. I have a problem, a struggle sometimes. The mountain might be so immense and I'm looking at it and I say, God, how are you going to come through this? I'm looking at it with my own human mind. But then I'm getting into an arena, then I feel encouraged and I feel God is going to do it. And I come back and I feel I'm struggling. But you know what? There was men like Gideon, like me. Gideon was a man like me. He was thrashing floor. And he comes, the angel comes, and you know, but he was so busy beating on it, and he didn't even realize that the angel was under tree. And many times God has sent people to us, angels, to come and deliver us out of situations. Until he called Gideon. That's when he rose up and said, oh, you mean you've been there all this time? He was under the oak tree. How many times have God sent angels to come and tell you, Carol, I have some information from you. But we are working. We are doing whatever we are doing. Sometimes it's good to step back, chill and relax and hear what the Lord is speaking to us. So the angel comes and tells him that you, mighty man of valor. And Gideon was like, is there anybody next to me that is calling? Have you felt like that sometimes? When you felt that divine energy and God is telling you, you, James, mighty man of valor, you can do this. And you're like, God, really me? And he told him, arise and go in the strength that you have. Ah, it is not in the strength that I give you. Wake up and go in the strength that you have. The glory and honor. Wake up and go in the strength that you have. And you know what Gideon says? My family is the least in Manasseh. I'm the last of the last. How can God choose me? Amen? Isn't that what he says? And he said unto him, O Lord, where shall I save the Israel? Behold, my family is the poorest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family's house. Can you go where he says, go in the strength that you have? And Jehovah looked upon him and said, go in this, thy might. Somebody say, thy might. My might. You have some mightiness in you. You may not have discovered it. It might be lying dormant. But the moment you know that you have some might in you, the Lord is saying, go in thy might. It is not in the might that I've given you. I've already given it to you, Pastor Chi. And he says, go in this thy might. Because God is saying, I can see this mightiness. I can see this dynamic power. I can see it even though you may not see it. I can be able to see beyond your natural vision. God sees beyond your natural vision. And he sees your mighty power. He sees the dynamic power that you have. And he says, arise and go in this mighty power that I see in you. Hallelujah. and go and save Israel from the hand of the Midian that I have sent thee. There are people in Dallas, unless you wake up in your mighty hour, they will never hear the gospel. Somebody is waiting to hear the kindness of you. Oh God, God sent you out here to be a missionary. Wherever you work, you ought to display the character of God. You ought to display the quality and the seal of God in you. Wake up and go in this mighty power, Elizabeth. Somebody may have put you down at one point in life, and you've been carrying that baggage for a long time, thinking that you cannot do it. But God, when God looks at you, He says, Elizabeth, wake up in this mighty power that I see. Are you listening to me? Wake up in this mighty power that I see. Tony, I hear the voice. Wake up in this mighty power that I see, and go save the nations. Are you listening to me? And there are men like that, like Moses. Moses comes to God and he tells God, God, until when you spoke to me, until now, I've been a man who have been slow in speech. That means even when he was talking to God, he was telling God, God, you know. But God doesn't care about how you speak. He doesn't care about whatever you think about yourself. God had looked into Moses' heart and he had seen that he had this mighty power in him to deliver the children of Israel. And if you read the book of Exodus, I believe Exodus chapter number 4, 3 and 4, you see how Moses went back and forth with God. Suppose Pharaoh, say, if the children of Israel cannot listen to me, who is Pharaoh to listen to me? Mind you not that Moses had spent some time in Pharaoh's house. Yet he comes and tells, suppose Pharaoh does not listen to me. But God says, go tell them that I am, has sent you. Amen. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I am still so young. In fact, let me read that and then we are going to conclude. In Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:6. After the Lord has spoken these things to Jeremiah, this is what Jeremiah said. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. Can you imagine he was a prophet to the nations? He said, I am too young. I cannot be able to speak. By the way, never say that you're too old or you're too young. Age is a number. It doesn't matter how old you are. You might be 70. Even this guy called Caleb, he was 80. And he said that I feel as strong as I was 40. God has the ability to renew your strength. It doesn't matter where you are right now. God can renew your youth. So when people look at you, they say, I'm still a teenager. Are you listening to me? I want you to think about what God thinks about you, church. Stand on your feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Do not allow any voice that will tell you otherwise. Do not allow any voice that comes to intimidate you that you cannot do this. With God, everything is possible. With God, everything is possible. And I'm speaking to myself. With God, everything is possible. With God, everything is possible. Hallelujah. Lift up your right hand to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've spoken this word as you lay in my spirit and you told me to come and speak it here. Father God, I'm a candidate of this word. May you help me, Lord, in my unbelief. Many times I've struggled, Lord, even to believe you in things that pertain, things that I go through. But Lord, my God, as you deliver these people, may you deliver as well. In the name of Jesus, we want to know who we are and whose we are. In the name of the Lord. Father God, if there be mountains, if there be issues that look like a mountain, Father, help us to know that you've crowned us with glory and honor. We have the fullness of God. We have majestic power in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you may endure into the knower of each and every one of us to know that you've called us with a purpose, to know that you've called us with a reason. In the name of Jesus, Father, we give you the praises. Father, we give you the glory. Help each and every one of us. Oh God, may you help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. May you help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Come on, cry out to the Lord. Open up your mouth. Tell the Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me in my unbelief. Help me to see myself the way you see me. Help me, Lord, even to open up my eyes that I may see the mighty power in me. The mighty power that you have in me. In the name of Jesus. I might be scared of my Midianites, but you have elected me to save America. You've elected me to save my neighborhood. You've elected me to save my community. You've elected me, Lord, even to save the people that I work with. with. You have elected me to be an impact to the people that I work with. In the name of Jesus, I'm the light. Oh God Almighty, I am the light. I am your ambassador. In the name of Jesus, I am your ambassador. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. If there be anybody who is not born again in this house, and you're saying, Father, I want to invite you into my heart. The Bible says in the book of Romans 10:10 that it is by your heart that you believe unto salvation, and then you become righteous to the Lord, and with your mouth you confess unto salvation. Lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you. It's a very simple to invite Jesus into your heart. It's a very simple process. You just pray in your heart that Jesus come into my life, and boom, he just comes instantly. And he makes a dwelling in your house, in your heart. Lift up your hand. Is there anybody who wants to receive Jesus in this house? Anyone who has a need, you are sick in your body, and you're telling the Lord, or you have a request from the Lord, just lift up your hand right now. As we pray, there's power in corporate prayer. I told you what happened to me when there was this prophetic declaration. I told God, I don't want to miss my moment. And immediately the Lord just, boom, came and just showed up, even in my case. Lift up your hand. We're going to pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see the hands of your daughters and sons that are lifted up to you. You clearly knows everything that they're going through. You don't need to learn or to understand or to research what they're going through. You know where the problem is. Father God, I pray that you shall stretch forth your hand and come and mend it up in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak your word. The Bible tells me that the word of the Lord never goes out and fails to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. I therefore send a healing word in the name of Jesus. I send a correcting word in the name of Jesus. I send a reviving word in the name of Jesus. I send an answer to somebody who needs an answer in the name of Jesus. Father, meet with them at the point of their needs according to your riches in glory. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because of the miracles that you are doing right now in this congregation this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.